The peaceful jungle planet of Meklemar is under new management. Once, the flora was lush, thick, and untamed, and the fauna were thriving, carefree, and, for the most part, also untamed. But just 2 years ago, Meklemar fell victim to the maiden conquering voyage of a newly spacefaring race called the Kronkhet. These horned, slug-like creatures saw no beauty in the diverse ecosystems of this untouched gem and made it their stomping ground, meaning they stomped it to the ground. Having never imagined the prospect of an invasion, the cricket-like native Meklemartians were defenseless, falling quickly to the invaders. However, the Kronkhet went overboard on their war expenditures. They found their empire nearly bankrupt by the time the planet surrendered. It was General Vool who had the brilliant plan to monetize their conquest. In a few short months, large compounds had sprung up all over the planet. The Kronkhet wore commemorative zoo and funtime centers. Here, the surviving native creatures of Meklemar were rounded up and placed on permanent display, drawing massive off-world crowds to gawk at the sight of their diverse and strange ecology. Tonight, going about his nightly rounds of the largest zoo near the capital city, we find an adult Kronkhet named Bofo Grok and his daughter, Drippa. Bofo is a zookeeper, and this is Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
All right now, Drippa. But first, we have to feed the cashew. Do you want to try? All you have to do is drop one of these carcasses through the hole.
I don't wanna! They're scary, with all those big old teeth and their long bendy legs.
Well, that's part of the fun. See, if you do it like this, just keep your fingers away, see? And you're practically fighting each other over it. The adrenaline rush is really something else.
Drippa's single, dazzlingly orange eye squints suspiciously at her father. After a moment's consideration, she decides to propose a bargain.
Fine. Just one carcass. Then you have to show me the Trungu. Deal?
That's my girl.
Drippa stretches on a pair of latex gloves, then takes a pinkish-white, maggot-crawling carcass in her hands. She looks through the feeding hole, a crude opening sawed into the wooden dock above the sewage-scented enclosure. Four or five kishil wait in their turquoise pool below, with their lashing tails and their grabbing webbed hands at the end of stick-like arms, beady eyes pointed upward, their sharp mouths grinning crookedly. Drippa closes her eye. She drops the carcass through the hole. The beasts below rocket out of the water, propelled by their long, spring-loaded legs, and snap eagerly, clawing and thrashing at each other as they battle for the measly, rotten morsel of nourishment.
Oh, Daddy! Did you see that? They liked the food I gave them!
That's right, honey. And all your fingers are still there after all.
Now can we go see the Trungu? They're so much gentler. I like to watch them sleep.
A promise is a promise. Let's go, honey.
Bofo Grok reaches to take his daughter's hand, but she slips out of his grasp, running on ahead, her fat tail leaving a trail in the dirt behind her. Bofo clenches his fist nervously as he toddles after.
Drippa, stay with Daddy. You might get lost in this big zoo.
Drippa is exhilarated from the act of disobeying her father, having run quite a ways ahead, dashing out of the employees-only door to the civilian viewing area of the Kishil enclosure. The beasts have just finished the meal she served them. She wraps pudgy fists around the rusty metal bars, watching the water beyond ripple. She can't help but feel as though she's done something intimate, feeding these creatures. While she's never taken her father's job very seriously, Drippa can't help but wonder if she's found her calling tonight. Just then, it dawns on Drippa that her father is taking an abnormally long time to catch up with her.
Daddy?
Silence. She takes a few tentative steps, backtracking in the direction from which she came. Not even halfway to the door to the employee area, she sees her father. He is transfixed, staring into the darkness. A glowing white pair of eyes stare back.
What are you doing?
A frightening flash of light floods Drippa's vision. She could swear she hears the faint thumping of primitive drums. When she blinks the stars out of her eye, she sees the monster her father has become. He is rippling with unnatural, bulging muscle, sighing ragged, angry rattles, a low grumble in the back of his throat, his eyes black and blank. As if in slow motion, like moving through water, Bofogrok lumbers past Drippa. He approaches the bars of the Kishil enclosure, wrapping his hulking fingers around the sturdy steel. With a cry of rage, he pries the bars apart. A moment passes.
Daddy!
A single Kishil clambers out of the enclosure, using its unnervingly long fingers to grasp the edges of its freedom. The Kishil and Bofogrok fix their gazes on Drippa, mouths stretching wide in toothy grins. This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 4, The Thrall of the Wild. Written by Caitlin Rabel and Ryan Horses. Captain Cronist Lochnew has had this dream before. A blustery white landscape spreads endlessly before him, sparkling and silent, his breath fogging in front of his face. The air bites his nostrils with its sharp winter smell. The wind whips against his bare, tentacled legs. He has not dressed for the occasion. Trudging sluggishly through the icy terrain, dread curdles in his gut. His neck tingles with anticipation. A beast is following him.
I have to get back to the ship.
The urge is not unfamiliar, but as he follows the trail of blood...
Or is it ink?
In the snow, he has the creeping feeling that he's only getting further away.
It's been minutes, but it feels like days.
A sharp fluttering snaps over the howl of the blizzard. Cronist hones in on a bit of yellowed parchment, weaving treacherously through the storm. He wants to chase it. Instead, he waits. For centuries, he watches this paper swim on the gales, eyes narrowed in hopes that he might see what is on it. Finally, it whacks dead against his face. Heart pounding, throat closing with panic, Cronist peels the page away from his face. On it is a drawing, done hastily in asparagus green crayon. The drawing is of himself.
Zamun-Raha!
He awakes in his own room on the Banshee and dashes for a notepad to jot something down, still shivering from the somnial Arctic air. His quarters are private, like all crew quarters on the ship. Using an array of dark fabrics swathed over his bed in a canopy and over the lights, Cronus chooses to keep his room to an aquatic level of darkness. Many trophy weapons are hung on the walls, accompanied only by ancient, crumbling tomes.
Yorona, can you research something for me?
But Yorona does not respond. Elsewhere on the ship, Ensign Cade Fludry has decided to take a break from playing a racing game with Lieutenant Switch in the cockpit. He's gotten his ass soundly beat in every round they've done in the past hour, despite the fact that Switch has been piloting the ship at the same time.
Is Yorona making that sound?
She does it all the time, don't worry about it. She's just a glitchy ship AI. Rematch?
No, I want to look into this.
Switch shrugs.
You're lost.
Cade follows the cries through the ship, transfixed like a sailor to a siren song. He drifts from room to room. At first, he thinks it may be coming from the engine room. When he reaches the engine room, he feels like it may be coming from his quarters. But his quarters are silent, so he wanders toward the comms deck. Here, he sees the small, bluish figure of a woman in a ruffled dress. She is translucent, flickering with holographic grain, hunched over on the far side of the room.
Yorona?
Cade?
The woman turns her head around to look at Cade, her body following suit. Her eyes are dark, hollow.
What are you... I mean, I heard you crying, so...
Oh, yes. I cried because I am looking for my children. They are so lost, so cold. Have you ever lost anyone, Nemo?
No.
The manifestation's head cricks to one side. Suddenly, she looks rather weathered. Her hair is matted. Her clothing is in tatters. Kate gapes as her mouth stretches inhumanly wide open, revealing inch-long razor teeth. She shrieks.
You will!
The hologram flies through Kate, who stumbles back and trips over, startled.
Oh, holy shit!
Kate? What are you doing on the floor?
Cronist has appeared in the doorway. This is the first time Kate has seen him out of uniform. Usually, Cronist is well-groomed, every tentacle in place. But today he seems a bit disheveled in his button-up silk pajama top.
Captain! I didn't expect to see you here.
I came up here to check on our comm system. I'm having some trouble with Yorona.
No kidding! You won't believe what I just saw. She was in here crying.
Oh no, she does that all the time. It's just part of her personality.
Yeah, I know, but...
My issue was more that she wasn't responding. So I wanted to make sure everything was connected correctly up here.
Of course it is.
Are you sure?
It's my job to make sure the comm systems work, so... yeah.
Incoming transmission from Admiral Doylendraba.
Oh, she's back online.
Actually, that was what I was trying to tell you about. When I came in here...
Accept the transmission, Yorona.
The image of Admiral Doylendraba appears in the center of the room, her atmospheric smoke billowing over the edges of the comms table, even in hologram form. Cade snaps to attention.
Greetings, Captain. Ensign Flattery? At ease? Where is Switch?
Present.
Switch walks in a moment late and leans against the far wall.
Good. Everyone's here. I have a new mission for you, Banshee crew. You might have heard news of the recent Kronket invasion of the Hecate region and the establishment of a for-profit zoo on the uncivilized planet called Meklamar.
Yeah, I heard about that. Aren't the Meklamartians a sentient species?
If that's the case, they shouldn't be enslaved in a zoo.
That is all true. However, the Commonwealth has already charged the Kronket Empire with an obscene number of war crimes. The very existence of the zoo is a crime in itself. Zoos are sacred spaces, meant to be upheld for the rescue and rehabilitation of endangered species. But, I mean, you know all this. You've all been to a zoo. You've seen how they work.
I haven't.
You haven't?
It's not... I mean, I never had the opportunity. And then I joined the military, and...
Oh, and you've never elected to take a day off since.
Switch, don't you ever take personal time for yourself?
I don't need to.
It's important that you don't see Meklamar and think this is the way zoos are meant to be. It's a heinous facility, complete with the unusually cruel treatment of its residents.
So, our mission is to burn the place from the inside out, right?
No. Actually, we have a GAC fleet en route to arrest the director of the facility for his many charges and to liberate the Meklamartians. Your mission is actually much more urgent.
As Doylendraba continues, a map of the planet-sized zoo materializes in front of her, rotating.
We received reports at around 2200 local time last night in the Kashil habitat. About... here, a phantasmal presence appeared and transformed a zookeeper into a hulking monster. Neither the entity nor the zookeeper have been found. His daughter witnessed the entire ordeal. She was therefore, take your daughter to work day. As if enslaving an entire planet is a proper job. Anyway, here at Tendril we have gathered that something paranormal is going on. Perhaps something involving tribal Meklamartian magic. Which is why we need your particular skills.
So we need to find this paranormal threat and dismantle it before the GAC fleet arrives.
Precisely. The GAC soldiers are not properly equipped to deal with something like this. And it could prove dangerous if it were to disrupt their liberation of the planet.
How long do we have?
24 hours.
That's not a lot of time, Admiral. We hardly know what we're going up against.
Then consider this your initiative switch. If you can solve the problem in 24 hours, I will personally fund a trip for you to go to a real zoo.
Really?
Of course. Oh, and one more thing. You are under direct orders to not start a revolution. The Kronkhet Empire cannot know that GAC forces are on the way. And they especially cannot know that there are conspirators in their midst. You will lay low and do nothing rash. Don't blow our cover on this one. Understood?
Understood.
Perfect. Over and out, Banshee crew.
Doylan Drabble's hologram blinks out, and the room is awkwardly silent for a moment.
So, we're definitely starting a revolution, right?
Cade, you heard what the Admiral said. No revolutions, just ghost-busting. I intend to follow her orders, and I will enforce them if I have to.
Plus, if we don't complete the mission correctly, I won't get to go to the zoo.
Oh yeah, because that's a great incentive for everybody.
Your incentive is your paycheck and your currently undamaged body. Crew, to your stations. Set course for Meklemar.
This is Catsup and Moostar here with your Commonwealth Catch of the Day. Rumors have come in from our tip lines on our iTunes review page and patreon.com/tendrilpodcast, where the coolest cucumber-shaped life forms from all over the galaxy are letting us know what's going on in their sector. We have strange reports coming in from the popular video host PewPewTube. It seems the account for user MusicKeepsMeAlive13, who perished 6 months ago, has begun posting cryptic videos. All of these are popular music videos with a chilling twist. The lead singer dies at the end. None of the pop stars can explain the horrific videos, but B3once assures us that not even a vengeful PewPewTube ghost could kill this queen. Researchers have discovered life on the dark side of a moon orbiting Zaglotsky, previously deemed uninhabitable. It appears to be a new form of life altogether, constituted not from carbon, but from the very essence of shadow. While some scientists on the team claim that the creature, codenamed Darkside Celts, is a voracious monster, others contend that it is extremely shy and afraid to be seen in the light. They'd better figure it out which it is soon, though. The shadow is spreading. That's all we have time for today. But remember, for the slime people of Escalar 2, mercury is essential for keeping your slime viscosity at prime buoyancy. See you next time on preferably a much longer Commonwealth Catch of the Day! The Banshee docks at one of the tourist ship bays for the Kronkhet War Commemorative Zoo and Funtime Center. As Yorona prepares the ship for landing, they change into their best undercover clothing, while Cade and Cronist opt for Hawaiian shirts, again. Switch is wearing a long side-slit skirt and a safari hat. As they wait near the ship's hatch, Cade gives her the side eye.
What? I can't work and be fashionable?
You just didn't strike me as the type.
The type for what?
Safari cosplay.
Oh, because you look like such a convincing tourist.
Stay focused, you two.
Once off the ship, the Banshee crew loads onto a surprisingly packed shuttle headed toward the zoo's entrance area.
All aboard. Remember, your spaceship is located in 1011 Tronco.
This is torture.
The heat or the being packed like sardines?
The attendant on the intercom!
The rickety shuttle clacks along the endless rows of spaceships parked in the lot. It's a crowd unlike anything the crew has ever seen, despite the fact that they perform many of their missions on planets geared toward tourism. Whatever the Kronkhet Empire is doing to advertise the Meklemar Zoo, it's working.
Oh, apparently there's profit in alien enslavement. Who knew?
Not so loud, Cade.
Guys, look!
Another shuttle has pulled up beside the crews, although these passengers are markedly less jovial. Similarly packed like sardines, the aliens on this shuttle all look alike, and they vary from large to small, young and old. They are cricket-esque creatures with many legs and perky antennae. Their skin is a pale tan with darker gray stripes, and their big, black, multifaceted eyes are watery with grief. Metal contraptions are clamped around their faces, and they shiver together, despite the air being thick with humidity. A Kronkhet attendant in military garb stands imposingly over the group of aliens. A pre-recorded voice barks over the intercom on the neighboring shuttle, just loud enough for the Banshee crew to hear.
"You'll find that our terms of surrender are actually quite lenient. If you cooperate, you'll be riding home with your fellow Mechlomartians in our largest habitat, with accommodations specific to your species. As agents of the Mechlomartian Rebellion, you are, under no circumstances, allowed to plot, scheme, collude, or conspire under penalty of execution for war crimes by the Kronkhet Empire. Enjoy your stay."
The voice fades away as the shuttle takes a sharp turn to the right.
Recorded and sent.
To who?
Admiral Doyle and Drovel.
I can't believe they're transporting their war prisoners in broad daylight like this.
They've gotten cocky. GAC military won't have any issues taking them down. We need to focus on the mission.
It's hard to focus. It's like a Nazi car crash.
24 hours, crew. We just need to restrain ourselves for 24 hours. We can do this.
Sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
The shuttle grinds to a halt outside the entrance of the zoo, and the Banshee crew disembarks, jostled around a bit by the excited crowd. They purchase tickets, a measly 2,000 credits, and allow themselves to be hustled through many stations of security theater until they are safely inside the zoo.
So what's the plan?
The incident occurred in the Kashiel habitat, according to what Doyle and Drovel sent us. But the entity we're dealing with could be anywhere.
We could just walk around the zoo until we find something.
Switch grins noticeably.
Do you have something in mind?
I was kind of hoping we could go on the Jungle River Adventure boat ride.
Well, according to the map, the ride circles the entire zoo, so that actually works for investigation.
All right. Just make sure you use the potty first.
Switch's face twists in disgust.
I don't do that.
Thankfully, the boat ride is close to the zoo's entrance, and the queue is fast. They're the last passengers aboard a boat that is just about to pull off of the docks. They settle themselves in the benches on the boat, only to find that they have been seated next to...
Fax Longarms?
Sure enough, Vex Longarmo, the lawyer on retainer for Procyon Planetary Properties, has also chosen to spend the day at the zoo. She's dressed in her typical power blazer, her hovering robotic torso gripping a commemorative soda cup with many noodly appendages. Within the fishbowl head of her vehicle, the tiny Chuchori's fins vibrate in quick motion, her buggish eyes squinted at the trio.
"Sorry, Banshee crew, but I'm not letting you ruin my good mood today. I don't care what you're here for."
PPP has business with the Kronkhet Empire?
"Not that it's any of your business, but yes. In fact, the Kronkhet have put this zoo up for sale, and I'm here to represent PPP in our purchasing of it. I have a meeting with General Vool himself later this afternoon. Why the Kronkhet are choosing to sell such a valuable cash cow is a mystery to me. This acquisition is going to make us a lot of money."
"So you really are participating in shady business?"
"No more than you three. For example, Moira Kim, is it?"
"Switch. Lieutenant Switch."
"Uh-huh. I had my teams do some digging, and we discovered an interesting thing or two about your background. Do your crewmates know where you came from?"
"Yes."
"And they're okay with it?"
"I'm still here, aren't I?"
"Huh. We'll see how long that lasts. But in fact, it seems that all three of you have less than perfect records. So, I'm interested. Why is the Commonwealth employing near criminals to do their dirty work? Huh. Maybe that's just it. All you're doing is dirty work, instead of this heroic facade you put forth like you deserve everyone's respect.
I could murder you with my bare hands. I think that demands respect.
Death threats, Switch.
Death threats indeed. But lucky for you, I'm going to choose to ignore your minuscule presence and enjoy this boat ride.
Suit yourself.
The boat sputters to a start, and a blue alien at the bow of the ship speaks loudly over the roar of the engine, his large, muppety mouth flapping animatedly.
Good afternoon, travelers. My name is Beluto, and I will be your Jungle Cruise Mechlamar sightseeing ambassador for this afternoon. Apologies if you can't hear me. My boss told me that the cost of an intercom would be taken out of my paycheck, and I can already barely afford my rent. Ha! Tough crowd. The wildlife you'll see on this ride is real. All of them are native to Mechlamar and are disturbingly aggressive. So please keep your arms and legs inside the boat at all times, because any legal settlement you might have to make with the Cronkhead Empire will impact me directly.
Wow, this is bleak.
Oh, he's trying his best.
The cruise boat putters along diligently through the Mechlamar flora, the world around it at least seemingly still and natural. There are bird-like bugs chirping in the trees, their tiny 6 feet clamping and unclamping with some unknown emotion, probably simmering rage in the general direction of the boat.
Here in the Cronkhead War Commemorative Zoo, we are host to about 1,500 species of animals native to Mechlamar. That's about half of the number of species that were here when the Cronkhead first arrived.
Ooh.
For the most part, the animals on the reservation we're touring through now have remained in their natural habitats, meaning that they take care of themselves entirely. They bathe, feed, and clean up after themselves, which means less zookeepers and more profit.
Is anyone else recording this? I'm recording.
As Beluto continues his droning monologue about the functions of the zoo, hardly any animals are seen from the tour boat. After several minutes, the river mouth opens up into a large lake, a waterfall on the far end. For a moment, the Banshee crew marvels at how beautiful the scene is. The jungle trees stretch into the sky and all around the lake, all shades of green and purple. The smell is warm and earthy. Mist rises up from the waterfall and fills their vision with a gentle haze. The world here is completely still, except for the distant rustles and calls of animals unaware of the tourists in their midst. If one listens hard enough, they could hear the stomata on each leaf opening and breathing each cell.
And if you look to your left, you'll see a waterfall. There's a cave behind it, which is home to... What? Well, what is that?
An enormous head peeks out through the waterfall itself, a tree-bark tribal mask made of wood and painted with swirling white designs. Then, the rest of the creature pulls itself through, revealing a body shrouded entirely in a black robe, standing 9 feet tall, able to brush the tips of the trees with its shoulders. It raises an enormous hand-carved staff, and a furious buzzing emanates from the bushes nearby.
Guess we don't need to find the monster.
Yeah. It came to us.
The Banshee Chronicles is written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radle, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. This episode featured Ryan Borses as the narrator, Caitlin Radle as Switch and Drippa Grok, Eric Mayo as Cade Fledry and Bluto, Teron Middleton as Cronist Lochnu and Bofo Grok, Diane Mayo as Admiral Doylan Drabble and Shuttle Attendant, and Monique Borses as Yarona and Vex Lungarmo. Tendril is only possible through the enthusiastic support of our friends, family, and listeners. If you're interested in helping to make this podcast a reality, please visit patreon.com/tendrilpodcast and check out our range of rewards. For more information, as well as full transcripts of each episode, visit us at tendrilpodcast.com.